The following is a production of Galactic Netcasts.
Attention! The Sci-Fi Geeks Club is next! Please stand by.
Live streaming provided by Alpha Geek Radio and Alpha Geek Video. Visit tunein.alphageekradio.com to learn more.
Hear ye! Another meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club is officially called to order!
I see that you've been given the proper secret knock and password, so you may enter the club. I'm President Dave Nelson here for the meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Here with me, I'm totally screwing up this intro. I'm so embarrassed. Here with me is Brad Ludwig and Gregor Sprague. Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hi.
Do you need a hug?
No, yes. Yeah, give me a virtual hug, Brad Ludwig.
They're there.
I would ask, how do you screw up an intro? But this is coming from the guy who screws up the intro every week on his podcast.
But you're known for that, Gregor. So
yeah.
Okay. Before we get any further, let's bring our guest in here. Our guest on this episode is the author of The Traveler's Cup, a novel currently looking for support on Inkshares from Montreal, Quebec. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Geeks Club, AC Baldwin. Hello, AC.
Hello. Nice to virtually meet you guys.
Yay!
Yay!
So we're going to talk a little bit more about you and your book coming up, but first, let's get into the news. Here we go.
Headline news of vital, significant events from every corner of the earth. Spoken news. Brought into your home, your office, even into your car as you speed along the highway.
This is the news. Here are the headlines.
All right, we got a little bit of Star Wars news here, and we are going to talk about the trailer that hit the internet today in a few minutes. But first, BB-8 now reacts to The Force Awakens. To coincide with the release of the latest Star Wars film on Blu-ray, the company, that's Sphero, the company, has updated its BB-8 app, enabling the tiny toy droid to watch the movie along with you and react to what's happening on screen with sounds and emotion. BB-8 will move his head around in excitement, fear, or sadness with accompanying sound effects to match his responses. Once you've completed the update on the software, you'll find a new entry among its various play modes called Watch With Me that gets BB-8 ready to enjoy the flick. You'll also need to make sure the app has access to your device's microphone, since it's your smartphone or tablet that will be listening along with the movie, not the toy itself. You'll want BB-8 perched on its dock in front of your set so that you can watch it reacting to what's happening on the screen. And because the film's over 2 hours long, it's probably also a good idea to have the dock's power cable plugged in as well. The app even includes a pop-up video-like option with random facts and other relevant information appearing on your device's screen as the movie plays out. Now, I have a BB-8 toy, and we watched the movie over the weekend, and this update came earlier this week, so I haven't had a chance to watch it again with the BB-8 plugged in, but I'm very much looking forward to this.
It's cool from a technological standpoint, I will say this. Just because of the fact that, I mean, it's using multiple things that are already out there. Like, it's using the, I think part of it's the timer thing. Like, when you're watching the movie, like, it'll get the first signal that humans don't hear, but what is picked up by microphones and all that other stuff. And then it'll start a countdown for that second screen viewing that will be on the phone or whatever devices that you use to control BB-8.
Mm-hmm.
But then that audio part, which they use that part, the timer thing with Walking Dead on AMC with their trivia and all that stuff, it's all timer based.
Oh, I didn't know that. I've never done the second screen experience for
The Walking Dead.
The
one is really cool. Just because of the fact, and this is going to get off track a little bit, but just because of the fact that you, when they, like 9 times out of 10 when they use a new weapon or something like that, they will pop up what the weapon is, like its weight and all that stuff, and different facts about it. Or they'll do, like, whenever there's, like, a zombie kill or some kill, like gore, there's the gore gauge where you can rate it, and they tie it in with Talking Dead because they'll have one of the guests come on there, and they'll be doing their own predictions, sort of going along with you, and then giving, you know, sometimes they'll give reasons for why they chose that thing.
Oh, interesting.
And it's all really cool. So they could be doing something like this, because it's not like AMC owns that. It's just,
yeah,
they're one of the people that it's more famously done with. But then the audio cues thing, I think, is how Nielsen here in America does their ratings.
Yeah, no, I totally know that's how it works, because I was in radio in the U.S. for 25 years. So, and there was a big controversy over that, right, Brad? Yeah. There was some hubbub over that listening to your radio thing. I forget what it's called.
Don't get me started. So much about PPM and all that.
PPM,
other.
PPM, that's what,
hey,
it was.
Hey, this isn't a radio podcast, though, so yeah. I won't talk about that. Yeah, it's crap.
But
we'll just leave it.
What I'm excited about is the future updates to BB-8. Like, this platform has the ability to possibly have endless updates to what it can do. So it's an investment that I'm glad that we invested in. I mean, it's a toy, and there's only certain things you can do with it now, but it's got the potential to do even more, and this just brings more functionality to it, and I'm very, very excited to watch the movie again. Not just because the movie's awesome and we own it, but to watch it along with BB-8.
I could sort of see, you know, something like that happening with the, like, the movies, or even, you know, other, like, if they redo the original trilogy for the 5,000th time, and they allow this with that as well. Like, you know, they put in them the audio cues for BB-8 to react, or even, you know, like Star Wars, the Clone Wars, or Star Wars Rebels, you know, the animated stuff as well.
Yep, exactly. No, you're totally right. It's very exciting, very exciting stuff. So maybe other movie franchises will get on board with this and have their own, not necessarily a BB-8 type toy, but like a separate device. And you wouldn't even, well, I guess we're going into the whole app territory now, but I think they can get away with it because they have this cool toy to go along with it. It's not just an app, it's a toy as well.
And that's going to be the big seller, because they've done with Blu-ray, especially through Warner Brothers Blu-rays, there was the WB Live feature that they would do that was supposed to bring in updates. I know the Dark Knight had that feature in there. And it's like, if you did stuff right towards the beginning, but the problem was it sort of got forgotten because you have, you know, like all the different formats that you then have to worry about and you know, blah, 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 all that stuff. But with this, if it's with a toy, I think it does give more reason for it to be updated, you know, as you go on.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's move on from that. Well, AC, do you have any thoughts on this? Are you excited? Would you, if you had the money, if you wanted to, would you buy a BB-8 just for this experience?
So I would love to have one, period, because it's the most adorable thing that's ever existed. But I'm still not sure how I feel on the whole second screen experience thing. Because when I'm watching something that I love, I like to be fully immersed in it. So breaking my attention to look at something else is a little bit of a challenge for me.
So you wouldn't do that even if it's like, you know, your 99th viewing of something, you would still just watch that. You wouldn't do.
I think I could give it a shot on like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking that too.
Because honestly, that's me. Like, I will watch something that I really love 3 times, like back to back to back. Mm-hmm. It's usually like, watch it, nothing. I'm just watching the movie. Watch it with a second screen experience, and then watch it with the director's commentary. Sort of deal. But that's just me. I'm that film nerd who will sit there and watch, you know, a movie with the commentary, even for TV shows sometimes. Mm-hmm. And just sit there and do it, and then to add the second screen experience, I would enjoy that much more.
Yeah, I think I could get behind that, especially with a movie like this. I mean, with the TV shows, as it's happening, that would be too distracting for me. But yeah. If it's something that I can watch repeatedly, I think I'd be more on board.
Can I take a pause for a second and ask AC to kind of tap your microphone on your headset? I think you're on the wrong microphone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think you're using your onboard computer mic.
Oh, sorry about that.
That might be something within the Hangout. There's a gear at the very top.
Yeah, the settings.
The settings?
Yes. Okay. How about now?
Yep, perfect. There. That's perfect.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. Thank you.
Nice.
All right, let's move on to another Star Wars related thing here, and that is the first teaser trailer for Star Wars Rogue One. And we have this as our big question this week, something related to this teaser trailer. But right now, I just want to talk about the teaser trailer itself. Have you all seen it?
Yes.
Yes.
No. Watching it right now.
You're watching it as we're doing the podcast. You're watching the teaser trailer.
Yes.
Okay. So let's just kind of go with Brad and AC first. Brad, what was your how do you feel about the trailer?
I'm actually really kind of excited. You know, it's always been that story that I've never, and I've watched Star Wars a number of times, Episode 4. A New Hope. And to just have that throwaway line that, you know, how they got the original plans to the Death Star. And to know that I was like a little, I was nervous that they were going to do like a prequel essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I've seen the trailer and where they're going and actually now realizing how much space that they have, no pun intended, but to work in within the story, what they can tell and to give you even a bigger view of the world of Star Wars. And in seeing that, knowing that the costuming is perfect, it's that perfect New Hope feel.
Yep.
You know, to know that they made the original one in 75, 76, and to know that they've now, you know, 30 plus years later, have still stuck to the costume design sensibility to still keep that feel that it is a part of that, or, you know, a prequel, to keep that feel is just beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
That's what really grabbed me from the teaser was how much they matched all that, the feel and the style and of that era, not just the in the Star Wars universe, but 1970s Star Wars, and just the grittiness of it, you know, and the fact that it's not going to be about the Force, it's not going to be about the Jedi or the Skywalkers, it's going to be about all the behind the scenes, like military aspects of the Rebellion, and they're being under the thumb or being under the boot of the Empire, and it just that aspect of it, I'm really super excited. And the fact that they're expanding the universe, that it's not just that one story anymore, it's going to be even more. That's what I'm super excited about.
Yeah, it's kind of, it has that old appeal that feels like Episode 4, but at the same time, it feels like something completely new, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, like, that's exactly it, yeah.
Like, it has a bit of the feel of The Force Awakens to me as well, where it's like, I don't really know where this is going, but I'm really excited to find out.
It's cool to see the old Stormtrooper helmets, too. That was pretty awesome. Yeah.
But the cool part about this, though, is we pretty much safe to assume that there's not going to be any Skywalkers in here,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, anyone that's really from, that was a main character from the any of the Star Wars movies that we've had so far.
The only one that they've shown so far is that woman, and I don't know her name, but
Mon Mothma.
Yeah, she's a character from Episode 4. Not the same actress, obviously, but they got an actress that looks just like her. It's pretty scary.
So scarily like her.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's the one. That's one of the things I noticed. Also, I think, was that Forrest Whitaker I saw in there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm like, Forrest Whitaker, what?
Yeah, that character, whatever he's playing, is very powerful. I mean, it was that, just his voice and what he was saying was just, that dominated that big portion of the trailer itself.
Yeah, and then I think they're developing a new trend, which I'm perfectly happy with the let's get British actresses to be the lead, because the actress in here was in Theory of Everything, and I cannot think of her name, but it's like, and that's a trend. Hey, go for it, because, you know, I mean, British actresses are in every other, you know, property that's here in America. Why not continue that trend?
Yeah, and there's some issues that some assholes online are talking about, and we'll discuss that in the big question tonight. But yeah, very exciting. I was going to say one more thing. What was it? I forget now. Hang on 1 second. Let me rock my brain for a second. No, I can't think of it. It's gone.
Wait, hold on. Let me check what the big question is real quick before I ask my question here. Okay, so do you think that Star Wars pretty much saying, or, you know, Marvel or Disney and Lucasfilm saying that, okay, pretty much all of our Star Wars movies are going to be in December. Do you think that's going to change how everyone else does their movies?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it's going to be emphasized more, but I mean, there's such a small window compared to the summertime, right? Because pretty much the summer blockbuster season starts in March now and ends in like September. So that's almost half the year. In December, you only have, I mean, the December holiday movie season is only maybe a month and a half, if that.
Yeah. But I think the point I'm getting at is because what we've been getting is this November, December is where, you know, even the end of October is where we get the Oscar bait movies and all that. So do you think that we're going to start to see that change?
But I mean,
we've
had bigger blockbuster type movies in December, like all the Harry Potters were released in December, I think.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
Frozen.
Lord of the Rings. Yep.
Well, yeah, but Frozen makes
November.
Yeah, so Frozen makes logical sense though, because I mean, who would release a movie involving winter in the springtime, or vice versa?
That's true.
Iron Man 3.
Mm.
Well, actually, I was just gonna counter that with what was it? The Guardians
of the Galaxy.
The Guardians.
Jack Frost.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
Where they released it at Christmas time, billing it as a Christmas movie when really it was an Easter movie.
there was a bunch of different characters of that type, and one of them was the Easter Bunny. I think Santa...
But it took place during Easter.
Oh, it did? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It was not... Oh, where did Santa Claus go? We have to find Santa Claus because it's December 23rd. It's spring.
Okay.
And Jack Frost is trying to take over.
Okay. Okay, let's just move on, because we could go down a serious rabbit hole. Let's get to know our guest. Welcome again to the Sci-Fi Geeks Club, A.C. Baldwin, author of The Traveler's Cup. A.C., can you describe your book a little bit to us?
Yeah, definitely. Just let me know if it gets to be too much. So The Traveler's Cup, this is a story that I started a few years ago. I just started with an opening line and had no idea where I was going with it. But over time, it's kind of grown into this story that I've fallen in love with and I'm really excited to start sharing with people. So the story, it's a space opera. And it's a little sci-fi, a little fantasy. I am unapologetically breaking rules to make something epic and I hope accessible to a lot of people. So the story occurs at an unknown time and place because I have secret ideas for that later. But we start on a desert planet called Palunos, which is inhabited by two classes of people, or humanoid races anyway. The Lumen and the Grey. So the Lumen are highborn, interbred. They stand out because of a strong pigment in their skin. which they also paint to be brighter. So you might see blue people, purple people, pink people, and they wear robes of rich and even brighter fabrics covered in gems. Basically, the brighter you can make yourself stand out, the more status you portray. Even within that, there are ranks inside the Lumen, but they generally wouldn't fall below what we might consider middle class. On the other side of that, we have the gray, who are, well, gray. They don't have any pigment at all. They wear whatever leftover robes they can find, and they're really the servants of society. They're kind of seen as the lesser beings. They don't really speak, and they are pretty much enslaved by the Lumen, who tell them what to do with no compensation. So since the planet is now mostly dried up, not a lot of water or other resources, the population all live in a few cities. And the story begins in the central city at the Traveler's Cup Fair. So the Traveler's Cup is a tri-annual event. The Lumen actually initially came from another planet historically. So they fled their home planet and ended up on Palinos, which over time they made their home. But one of their greatest treasures was left behind. So for the last few hundred years, they've built and sent military-grade ships out in search of their old planet and treasure. But no one has returned from that. So you would think it would be difficult to get people to sign up for the task. What's interesting is that the Lumen have found the Gray actually volunteer to do this. They're excited at the prospect of something that they're just taking advantage of, whether that's being in the spotlight or some other gain, but no one really cares because it's the Gray. So they all are throwing their names into this cup for a chance to go and bring the treasure back. So the Lumens are just like, okay, someone wants to do this, great. And the story actually is from the perspective of one of the Lumen named Demaeus, who jokingly puts his name in the cup to impress a girl. So out of 40,000 gray, he figures it's impossible he'll be chosen, and that in the rare chance it happens, he can laugh it off. But when his name is called, he finds out that it's not so simple.
Nice. Be careful what you ask for or wish for, I guess.
Yeah, so I like to think it gets interesting from there, but you can find some sample chapters on the Inkshares site if you're into the concept.
So if people want to find it on Inkshares, what do they search for?
They can search the Traveler's Cup. I believe that there are some dashes and underscores in the URL, so I won't spell that out for you. Yeah, if you search the Traveler's Cup even on Google, it should be, I think, the second result.
Okay, we'll put the link in the show notes to not just in the podcast, but in the YouTube video as well. So proceeds from the book going to Build On, and it's a charity. Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that charity and why you decided to do that?
Sure. So Build On is a charity that's focused on global education and literacy and adult literacy. So they have programs in the U.S., but they also have programs overseas in developing countries, building schools, teaching people to read and write who have never had the opportunity. And I got in touch with them because crowdfunding is hard and weird. and crowdfunding a book means I have to ask for a minimum of $10, which for some people is a lot, especially when self-published ebooks go for $5 or less a lot of the time. But Inkshares actually shares a generous portion of the profits with their authors. So since that money wasn't really important to me and I don't like asking for handouts, I started to think, what else can I do with this that is beneficial for society or that people might be able to get excited about with me? So I figured, why not a literacy charity, tie it to books and to reading. So I contacted Build On and we set up a partnership. So I'm really excited to be able to work with them and see where that goes.
Where is the book, or how is the book doing on Inkshares, and how much time do you have left until you're...
So the campaign is ending on May 5th, so about a month left. It's going well. For the last couple of weeks, I've been coasting a bit because I've been trying to set up more of this big picture stuff, like the charity partnership. So for those who might not know, Inkshares is a crowdfunding platform for books, and every order gets me a step closer to publishing this thing. So initially, I started in the Nerdist contest,
ended up coming in 6th out of 96.
That's good.
Which, in retrospect, I'm pretty stoked about.
That's very respectable.
Yeah. It was a space opera contest. So what came out of that were about 200 orders, which puts me most of the way to what Inkshares calls the quill goal, which is 250. At that point, I can publish, so that's great. And another cool thing that happened was actually winning Gary Whitta's Syndicate Award. And if you don't know that name, he wrote a bunch of movies, and including working on Rogue One. So
that's
I'm
right.
Really
I forgot about that. Yeah. That's awesome.
He also wrote Book of Eli, After Earth, and he worked on the Telltale Games Walking Dead. So
yeah,
he's a pretty cool guy to be connected with.
Yeah.
I've been trying to get him on this podcast for a long time, actually. Yeah. He's just nuzzling.
I will share, though, for the listeners, and since, you know, AC probably don't like, you know, like talking herself up and all that stuff, she's got 84 books to go before, or no, not even that. No, I'm sorry, math is wrong. 34 books to go before she gets published.
Wait a second, 34 books, that's all?
Yes.
Oh my God, we could totally do this.
Yes. The Galactic Collective can do this. Come on.
Yeah. bit.ly/Traveler's Cup. bit.ly/Traveler's Cup. Thank you, Gregor.
So, and I just posted all the links on the Galactic Netcast's Facebook page as well.
All right. Good job, Brad. All right. Good luck, AC.
Way to go, team.
Good luck, AC. I know you can do it. And we'll talk a little bit more about – we'll mention it at least one more time before the end of the podcast. Okay.
Awesome.
Damn right.
All right, so continuing on with the news, this is the second of three stories from globalnews.ca. And this is so awesome, and it's awesome on many levels, including the fact that io9.com said this was the one and only April Fool's prank that was worth anything this year. And I have to agree. Canadian government releases historical documents on mutant patriot Wolverine. Library and Archives Canada announced on April 1st that they have acquired declassified journals and military records belonging to controversial Canadian war hero and mutant James Logan Howlett?
Howlett.
Howlett. Howlett. Commonly known for the rest of or to the rest of us as Wolverine. The post features a doctored photo of actor Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, as well as a fake paper admitting James Howlett to the Canadian Overseas Expeditionary Force in 1914. Howlett, where am I at here? I lost my place. Okay, Howlett, whose continuing adventures are chronicled by Marvel Comics and in the films X-Men and The Wolverine, one that we... most people don't like to mention, among others, is one of Canada's most famous mutants. Wait a second. The Wolverine. Which one is that?
The Wolverine's the good one.
Oh, okay.
Wolverine Origins
oh,
is the bad one.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I was confused for a second.
Wolverine is the one that does not get named.
Okay. So, among others, like I said, is one of Canada's most famous mutants and spent decades serving the Canadian government in both official and unofficial capacities. Born in 1882 in what is now Cold Lake, Alberta, Howlett's longevity can be attributed to his mutant power, which allows him to quickly heal any injury and apparently slows down his aging. His military career spanned multiple conflicts, making his personal records an unprecedented study in Canadian military history, reads the Facebook post from Library and Archives Canada, although it also mentions that he works for CSIS and the CIA during the Cold War. It is surprisingly short on details and makes no mention of his rumored involvement with the secret Canadian government programs Weapon X and Alpha Flight. What else? One more paragraph here. It's possible that Howlett, who eventually took the name Wolverine, acquired his famous indestructible adamantium claws and skeleton around that time, as well as an apparent amnesia that left him unable to remember his earlier life. This may have contributed to his disillusionment with the Canadian government, or Harper, one of the two. Whatever the reason, he soon left Canada and the Canadian government and started mercenary work with a variety of other organizations, mostly in the U.S. And recently, he had been affiliated with the publicly hated and feared American group of mutant vigilantes known as the X-Men. So there you go. That's the complete, not the complete, but it's an edited version of the post from the government of Canada on April Fools, April 1st. What do you guys think? Think that wins April 1st, April Fools?
It kind of does.
No, I still like Google's mic drop better.
Oh my God!
honestly, I do like this, but I sort of like it more when it's like when you had the I can't think of who it was, but like the CDC releases How to Survive the Zombie Apocalypse and you know other jokey things like that when it's not April Fool's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's sort of like April 1st. Okay, we got to be funny, and then you do get things like the Google mic drop. Where, you know, it's where they're like, oh, yeah, this will be great. Oh, people are really mad at us. Sorry, April Fools. Ha, 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 ha. Sort of thing.
The trouble with April Fools and April 1st is the fact that it's turned in from pranks to outright lying. Like, they don't even try anymore. It's like, hey, they write a fake story up and go, oh, ha, ha, it's April Fools.
And then the other thing that gets me is you have this backlash of, well, not backlash is probably the wrong word, but you have this moment where you watch something and you're like, oh, this is cool. And then you look at when it was published, it was like April Fool's. Yeah, can't believe it. Like, I don't know how many people I saw last September posting a thing about a Firefly reboot. And then you see in the comments, five of the comments are, look, check when this was published. It was published on April 1st and all that. Or a video I saw today on YouTube just in the recommended, and it was another crossover for Flash and Supergirl, but this one will have the Tom Welling Smallville Superman in there as well. And I'm like, that sounds interesting. Scroll to when it was published. Dang it!
On the flip side, you can't trust anything on April 1st.
Yeah.
I found out about the Tesla announcement on April 1st for the, you know, affordable car that they're making. And I was like, wait a second.
Yep.
The affordable car is probably going to cost like as much as a small house.
Yeah, but comparatively.
To kind of go along with what AC was saying, one of the people that I work with hosts a metal show, and he is a joker, and he's a really... really all around great guy.
Terry Stevens.
and he posted on Facebook that he had a number for his show, Scary Terry's Saturday Nightmare, and, you know, put it on the graphic here, call this number and you can, you know, leave a message and whatever. So, I was having dinner with Alex and Anessa, and I'm like, oh, what the heck? So I dialed the number. And sure enough, he set up a Google voice box, a voicemail box. And so I left the message. I'm like, oh, so this is legit. Well, I was going to ask for Nickelback, but because he hates Nickelback. so I asked for something else, something for Metallica. And then he sent me a Facebook message like 5 minutes later. He's like, guess what I'm going to be using on Saturday night? And I'm like, ugh, okay. Yep. So there you go. It's just, I mean, just like what AC was saying, if you post anything that is legit, do it on, you know, the day before or the day after April Fool's, because it's just going to be suspicious anyway.
Yeah, everything is tainted on April 1st, that's for sure.
Truth.
I just think this is awesome because it's the Canadian government, and even though they've gotten lighter since... Why am I drawing a blank? Damn it. Justin Trudeau became prime minister. It's still a government, and you don't expect these kind of things from any government in the world.
Can I take credit as the token Canadian? Or?
You can. Okay. I live in Canada, but I'm not Canadian yet. So you're more Canadian than I am. So go ahead.
Far more Canadian.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so we'll put the link to the show notes. Or, why am I having a freak out in my head right now. We'll put the link to the story in the show notes, and you can check it out for yourself in its entirety. We would like you to follow us on Twitter, even after you listen to what I just said there. Believe me, we're a lot better than the things that I say sometimes. What's that, Gregor?
A lot better than the Elsnerd show.
You guys do a great job.
What
are you talking
stop
about?
It.
Yeah, stop giving yourself crap.
When are you guys going to realize that I do the fake put downs just to hear praise?
I know.
I'm playing along. It's because I love you, man.
What I was saying is you can join us on our social networks. You can follow us on Twitter. You can like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and you can find all the links on our website, gncasts.com. It's kind of towards the upper right-hand, very top of the page. We've got all the little icons for all the different social networks. You click on those, and they will take you to all the social networks, and you can follow us with all the things that we do, because we do a lot of things, not just this podcast. We've got multiple podcasts on the network, plus we post other things once in a while as well. Like I did this Facebook Live video before we went live with the Alien Invasion podcast earlier tonight, and I think we might be doing that more often. So that's another reason to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can watch our shows, either recording live or watch them later on in the archives of our YouTube channel. So there you
go. For a second there, before you were gonna, you said shows. I was hoping you were gonna say shenanigans.
Or shenanigans.
You can watch our shenanigans.
Yes.
Well, shenanigans, I believe, only falls under for Adventure Party and then Podcast of Terror. Those are the two shows that shenanigan until Elsnerd joins in, like, what, 3 weeks or so?
Yeah.
And then we will be a shenanigan show.
Oh, we are full of shenanigans.
We need to have a podcast just called Shenanigans. Do you think there's do you think there's already one out there somewhere? Somebody do a search.
I don't know, but I could get it pulled down so quick because I would have the sounder for it, and we would probably get pulled down and sued by NBC because it was on Attack of the Show whenever they were doing their Around the Net segment.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh, this video is a fake. Let's brand it. Shenanigans brand is what they would put it, or is what the little stinger that they had.
Wait a second. Like, that was an NBC thing, Shenanigans?
No. Oh. NBC owned G4, which aired Attack of the Show.
Okay, that's right.
So, and they would still probably own all the stuff to it. So I could see them suing for, like, hey, you're using our stuff without our permission.
What, we can't say, we can't use a common word? Come on.
Well, no, the stinger that I would pull the stinger of them doing shenanigans.
Okay, got it.
Here we go. There was a shenanigans show podcast. Looks like their last episode they did was in 2014. So.
Okay, that's that's 2 years. That's plenty.
Are you advertising for another show right now there, Brad?
No, we're doing our research to see if we can do a podcast called The Shenanigans Show. Anyways, let's do some more news from io9.com. New superhero TV shows in development. I found two of them, so I thought, let's just do two stories in one here. The first one is The Boys coming to TV thanks to Seth Rogen. And I'm going to let Gregor read this story because he'll sound a lot more knowledgeable on this because he knows more about this than I do, right?
I do? Okay, sure. Yeah, let's go with that.
I thought you did.
No, not The Boys.
Oh, okay.
No, Brad would probably know more about The Boys comic book than I do.
Okay, Brad, do you want to read this story?
I would love to read this story. I have so many windows open. Hold on a second. I'll find it. There it is. Okay.
Dave, edit this out.
I just sucked all the air out of the podcast right there. I apologize. The Boys. It seems like comic writer Garth Ennis is taking a liking to Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. The duo are in the midst of bringing his comic Preacher to AMC, and now they're hoping to bring another of his famous works, The Boys, to Cinemax. Last year, Birth Movies Death, really? reported that the two were shopping the comic as a show, and now Deadline confirms Cinemax has taken the bait and put the show into development. The Boys is about a special CIA group whose job is to keep a watchful and forceful eye on the superheroes of the world. Now, what this article doesn't tell you is The Boys is probably one of the most raunchy and graphic. They modeled one of the characters after Simon Pegg.
You know,
he looks facially like Simon Pegg.
I was wondering when I read this story earlier today, because I remember you talking about this or somebody talking about this a long time ago, that there it was very dirty, and I'm like, where is that part of this? Because that should be part of the description, but it wasn't.
It is filthy.
That explains the Seth Rogen.
It explains the Seth Rogen. It explains the Cinemax part.
In one of the issues, one of the heroes stops a incoming meteorite by having vigorous intercourse with it, and I'm going to use very polite terminology there, but that's what ends up happening. That's how he stops the meteorite from pummeling
the
Earth.
Describe for the viewers here, because I might know a logical reason as to why it's on Cinemax, but describe to our listeners what The Boys is, like what it's about and all that. Besides being a filthy, filthy comic.
Basically it's a really gritty, what if heroes existed, who would oversee them, and what would happen to somebody who had superpowers, and where would their heads go if they were essentially gods among men and women?
Okay.
And it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And if you get something from Garth Ennis, if you've ever read Preacher, if you ever read any of his other work, it's always dark and gritty, and R-rated, to be sure. But he's an excellent writer. I mean, he doesn't do it necessarily for the shock value, but where he takes his characters, and it's usually a very dark exploration of the human psyche.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it goes. So, yeah. Like I said, it's
so I say this because, and I'm going to tie this into the last beta episode that we did on Elsner's show, where Corey talked about the TV show Banshee, which also airs on Cinemax. And Cinemax has a very particular style when it comes to TV shows. They're not like HBO where, oh, there's some nudity in here, but you know, it's not porn, it's HBO. Cinemax has this thing where it's almost porn sort of deal.
Like, oh, you mean those terrible movies on it? I don't know.
At 3 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, you get Skinemax and all that stuff. Yeah. But like again, going with Banshee. Banshee's a great TV show. I highly do not recommend it for the kids. Do not recommend it for the kids. But you know, it's very, very uber, well, not uber violent, but very violent action, very down gritty action. But then, and I think Corey said that it did get better from season 3, but then you go from that to almost what seems like a, oh, well, let's just have sex now scene. And so that's where I'm thinking this would be a good fit, not because of the sex stuff, well, except for the, you know, where he's going to destroy an asteroid by screwing it sort of deal. But, I mean, you could get – there could be more liberties of them being, you know, you have a character that's very vulgar and very violent. Oh, it's great. He'll fit in perfectly sort of deal. That's where my thought process is going with this.
Along those lines, you know, Game of Thrones is very adult R-rated in its subject matter as well. I think that Cinemax is looking to keep up, and this fits the bill very much. So,
I think it's awesome that we have two extremes in the two stories that were actually three stories, but two of the three are extreme. Like you've got this one, which is borderline porn, or it could be borderline porn, I guess. Then you've got the next one, which is going to be geared towards a more young adult audience. And it's Marvel's Cloak and Dagger, which is also heading to TV. Were you guys done talking about that? Can we move on?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on.
Okay.
Let's go to Cloak and Dagger.
Gregor, this is your story, so go ahead.
Okay, so Variety is reporting that Freeform, which is formerly known as ABC Family, has commissioned a brand new Marvel TV series based on the teen team-up comic book Cloak and Dagger. In the comics, Tyrone Cloak Johnson and Tandy Dagger Bowen, who first appeared as supporting characters in Spider-Man comics in the early 80s, are a crime-fighting duo who got their powers after being given experimental drugs as teenagers. Cloak developed the power to turn intangible and teleport himself and others through his cloak, while Dagger would fling dagger-like shards of light that could heal or harm people.
And they're not mutants, right? They're called something else, aren't they?
No, they're, if this was DC, they would be metahumans.
Okay.
Is what it is.
Well, no.
Well, they're not mutants. Like, I was trying to relate it to DC, which falls flat on my head.
If anything else, they're like Daredevil.
Yeah.
They had something that happened to them that happened to give them powers.
Okay.
Or Spider-Man.
Not age, exactly. It's not necessarily a genetic birth thing. It's an accident that gave them abilities.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Variety describes Freeform's Cloak and Dagger as the Cloak and Dagger series as being more skewed towards a young adult audience than Marvel's current shows, focusing on the romance between Tyrone and Tandy, described as two teenagers from different backgrounds who... I'm sorry, I'm reading this, and I already have things I want to say.
Okay.
Who find themselves burdened and awakened to newly acquired superpowers while falling in love.
Oh, falling in love.
No.
What do you mean, no? Stop it.
I read this, and it... There's this thing... I could see them skewing it towards a younger audience. But you don't have to go... Because, I mean... If you look at the Marvel spectrum on, you know, in there, you know, with the movies being separate, but in the TV stuff, you have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then probably the Marvel's Most Wanted spinoff at one end. And then you got Daredevil, Jessica Jones, violent, there's no restrictions sort of deal. Well, there are some restrictions, but not really restrictions.
Yep. Before you continue, AC?
Yes.
I want to pull you back into the conversation here because you've been sitting on the sidelines for quite some time.
All right.
Netflix. Have you seen Daredevil or Jessica Jones or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, so I am doing Daredevil now.
Okay.
I wanted to jump ahead into Jessica Jones, but I've heard that's a bad idea. So I have gone back and started Daredevil.
Yeah, season one?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Are you a fan of comic books or comic books TV or movie?
Yes. But I'm new to the Daredevil universe, so it's I don't know. It was a little bit hard for me to get into the first couple of episodes, but I'm starting to enjoy it more now.
Yeah. It's a pretty good adaptation. I will say that, you know, the Daredevil series. You know, it's Oh, I forget what comic book they're basing the outfit on. There was one of the comic books. Who did the run?
Crap. Romita Jr. did the art. I think it was Miller and Romita Jr. Man Without Fear?
Yeah, yeah. Mark Miller. Was it Mark Miller or?
No, it was pre.
Is it Miller or Millar?
It's Miller.
Is it Mark Miller?
I hear it both ways.
Okay, but so the part that scares me is also sort of the reason why I got out of the other Freeform show, Shadowhunters, is it seemed like it was relying too heavily on the relationships of the people, of the characters sort of deal. And with Cloak and Dagger, yes, there is this relationship, but I don't think that necessarily needs to be the backbone, because then it's going to seem really shallow.
What? That was the backbone in the comic. They were.
But I look at it, and maybe it's because I haven't read too much of them in the proper Marvel universe. My first introduction to Cloak, actually, no, I had an introduction before, but where I really read Cloak and Dagger was in the Ultimates comic book with That was in the Ultimate Marvel Universe.
Was it slightly different in the Ultimates?
It's slightly different in that I think they said that it was Roxxon that owned them, or whatever. That Roxxon was basically behind everything over there, and it was more of they were like a prom couple, like they were boyfriend and girlfriend in high school. When this accident happened, they died, and then they're in this car accident, and then their bodies were experimented on, and they were resuscitated. Brad has a look of horror. Yes, Brad, you have to remember, this is the Ultimates universe. It was a piece of garbage. Not the first choice of words, but I remember we were family friendly. that was my first take on this. But this, it seems like, okay, where's going to be the tension? Where's going to be the drama? Because if it's an accident, you know, sort of deal, a la Daredevil, then it just seems like, oh, hey, we got powers, we're going to go around and all that stuff.
But you have to remember, too, Gregor, that this will be young adult focused. So I don't think it needs as much tension as like an adult show would be, right?
Yeah.
And also, it's the same formula for like Spider-Man, and there's plenty you can do with Spider-Man. So probably the method of getting the powers isn't as important as what they do afterward, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that.
I don't know, honestly, this is all leading for the next one.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Let's do this final one so we can get on to our big question. So
the third one is a show that has ties with all, the first story and then this one, and I will explain those in a second. But Freeform is bringing the classic cult comedy sci-fi show Misfits to America, and so. Freeform, you already know the channel in question. Is the series Misfits aired on Channel 4 in 2009 in the UK, and this is a show that actually sort of got me down this road, because this is the first thing I saw Glenn Rubenstein doing that was before the shows that led to eventually Elsner's show. But it focused on a group of working-class British teens who, while performing community service, are caught up in a freak electrical storm that grants them superpowers. However, instead of teaming up to fight justice, they continue on their delinquent ways. And the cool part about this is the U.S. remake is from the writer and producer of Chuck, Josh Schwartz, and he had been working with the creator of the U.K. version, Howard Overman, on the pilot, and they've been shopping this around for like 4 years now. Like, they started chopping it around in 2012. They started working on it in late 2011. And it's just now finding a home.
Okay, so he's working with one of the original series guys, so that's good news, right?
He's working with the creator.
Okay.
With the original British creator, which is great. And then it says here there's going to be a couple of slight tweaks, which the purist in me starts screaming, but it's less like, oh, whatever. But the original concept, which was intended as a British take on the U.S. superhero genre, this translates to American television remains out to be seen. However, the sparse description from Freeform reveals two changes already. The characters are now 20-somethings, which is okay. It's understandable for that aspect, just because in the British version, there was a lot of drinking.
Yeah,
and all this
and
stuff.
You can drinking be and you can be younger and drinking in the UK. Yeah.
Yeah. And the way that they get their powers is a mysterious chemical, as opposed to a freak lightning storm, which, honestly, I like the freak lightning storm. I don't know, like it would work the other way, but the freak lightning storm led to, you know, it's just like they're all working and all of a sudden, boom, and it was very comedic in that aspect, and then they get all their powers. But the cool part is this show birthed a lot of great people. The Joseph Gilgun came off of another show but was in here, and now he's in Preacher, ties it to the first, to The Boys. It's on Freeform, so it ties it to Cloak and Dagger. But aside from that, you know, we have what's the bastard from Game of Thrones? Not Jon Snow, but the other
Ramsay.
One. Ramsay. He's on here. That took me by surprise. With him on Game of Thrones, it took me as an utter surprise, because he's such a nice guy on Misfits. And
well, Gregor, hey Gregor, they're actors.
I know, but it's one of those things, like, you see him play a nice guy, and then the next thing you see him in is you want to kill that character. It's a little shocking.
Well, it's weird to see the guy that plays Negan in what was the, he was in what, Grey's Anatomy, and like his character is a total departure from almost anything else that he's played before.
Yeah,
which is weird.
Yeah. Similarly, John Lithgow. Did you see him in Dexter?
Nope. No. I've never seen Dexter, so.
No.
Okay. He went from like the jovial old man on Third Rock to this crazy demonic serial killer. So
oh,
that was pretty cool.
I had no idea he was in that show. That's interesting. Okay. Huh.
But no, I mean, this is cool because the other worries I have is because it aired on Channel 4 over in the UK. And they're a little bit more lax in the swearing. Dave, this is where you keep track of time code, because I will swear here in a second.
Okay, all right. I'm ready.
You get such classic lines from one of the characters, like, I'm a fucking rocket scientist. That's so brilliant. And it's spelled F-O-O-K, not the traditional way of spelling that. And I feel like they're going to have to work a little bit harder to get those great moments. But all in all, honestly, I think for this to be a success, they can't take themselves too serious.
Mm-hmm.
Because you had, I think the original went for five series or seasons over here in America, which, and then like in between, they changed their powers like three times. Just no explanation except for, well, one of the guys can just switch powers. Like, you could just, like, take one person's powers and then give them to another person, sort of deal. And it was, you just explained it because reasons.
Well,
there was no explanation.
Well,
it was awesome.
This kind of goes along the lines of comic books.
Yeah.
Because comic books. It's pretty much the same thing. You know?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So those are three shows to look forward to in the future. Hopefully they all come to series. That would be awesome. And you know what would be more awesome? If you guys listening would go to patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. That's patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. And pledge as little as $1 a month. You know what that dollar will get you? That dollar will
that dollar give us?
That dollar will get you exclusive access to our Patreon-only Slack chat channel. And you can... If you are a if you give that dollar a month and get your access to the Slack channel, you can bug us all hours of the day, middle of the night. You can write something in there, and one of us may be online, and we might start a conversation with you. Or during
or one of us might have not changed the notifications the right way, and it dings, and you're like, wait, what's that noise? And then you wake us up out of sound sleep, and then we will talk to you.
Yeah, and we promise that we won't get mad at you because we love you for giving that dollar a month, because that helps us pay for things like the audio hosting at Podbean or our WordPress hosting. All that stuff needs to be done in order for us to bring these podcasts to you, including bringing over the Elsner's podcast to... from wherever you guys are coming from to the Galactic Netcast Network.
Basically, you could describe that as we're homeless right now.
Yes.
We've been living out of our car, and you've kindly offered your guest room, which is secretly under the stairs. We just haven't figured that out yet.
And... So you've put all those posters and comics in your car?
Yes, exactly.
That's what I said.
I'm impressed.
This is just a green carpet.
Oh, I was going to say his car is bigger on the inside.
It's like a TARDIS car.
Yeah, it's a TARDIS car. It's a TARD car. Whoops.
If only my car was blue, I would so call it a TARDIS car.
You can make it blue, Gregor. You can make it blue.
I could.
Okay,
I
one more time, patreon.com/galacticnetcast. We have other levels that you can pledge at, which gives you other rewards, and you can just find out more about those at
Dave,
Patreon. Yes.
Before you give out the thing at galacticnetcast.com. What if they can't support us because they have no money? What should they do then?
They can just tell their friends. Well, you know what? The first thing they can do is subscribe to the podcasts. That's the number one thing you can do.
Okay.
The next thing they can do is tell their friends about our podcasts. Or if you're, you know, subscribed to this show or our other podcasts on iTunes, you can give us 5 stars and a great review. And that will show other people looking for something to subscribe to that, hey, this is a great podcast. I think I'll subscribe to this one. Those are some things they can do. Or there's another way you can support us by going to our Amazon link at our website, gncasts.com, and do your shopping on Amazon through our link, because a little bit of the money that you use to buy your things, just a small percentage of that goes to us to help our to help us monetarily as well.
And speaking of shopping, you can go to Inkshares and look up A.C. Baldwin's book, The Traveler's Cup, and support what she's doing as she is helping others.
Yes.
Proceeds
from her book.
We're all so helpful.
All right.
Boom.
Hey, are you guys ready for this? Are you ready for the big question?
Yes.
Wait. I got to get the big question hat on. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, here we go.
Dave? How many hats do you have?
Huh? Hey, Dave, what's the question?
Oh, what's the question? The question is, with the release of the new teaser trailer for Star Wars Rogue One, a certain section of the internet is complaining once again about a female lead character. Oh my God! That can't be possible! So, when do you think people will stop being a-holes like this? Or will they ever stop being a-holes and complaining that there's female or minority characters in movies and TV shows?
I'm going to make a bold statement right now. And, well, hold on, I should put on my bold statement hat for this.
What are you? Who are you? Leo Laporte?
No, I'm Tom Merritt. But no, the people who complain about these things, about like there being a female lead in a movie, or oh my god, they made Spider-Man black, or oh my god, they made Johnny Storm in the movies black, or whatever, they're Trump supporters.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right. You're probably right.
But listen to the logic behind this, because Brad right now, for the audio listeners, has just laughed, away from microphone, hands in.
He lost his shit, is what he did.
Yeah. Yes. But this is, these people fear change. So, therefore, who else would you like to support but Donald Trump? That is not me endorsing Donald Trump.
No. We wouldn't have you on this podcast if you supported Donald Trump. I'm sorry.
The only way you would want me to support Donald Trump is if you guys wanted me to move to Canada. Because I've stated it before, I will move to Canada if Donald Trump is elected president.
You know, you don't have to.
Montreal's pretty cool.
Yeah, or Ottawa. Ottawa would be great, too.
Dave, you got a spare couch?
Well, you can just sleep down here in the basement. You can sleep on the mattress that the dog sleeps on when we leave the house.
I like dogs.
Hey, you know what? We should actually have the woman in the group give us her perspective.
Yeah, I would love AC's perspective on this.
All right. Where to start with this? Okay, first, two lady leads in a row, how dare they? But no, it's worth noting, I think for me, that the majority of people I've spoken to are completely cool with this and actually really happy to see more female leads. So really, I think it's a couple of people trying to get attention and raising some stigma that really doesn't need to exist. Also, what they're complaining about is a feeling that women have experienced since the inception of film.
Yeah.
I think we're going in the right direction. For me, this is fantastic. There's definitely no shortage of male leads. And sci-fi is a genre that I really trust to do this right. I mean, since Star Trek, we've had female leads and we've had people of color in prominent roles. I'm excited.
and I hope that this keeps going and catches on even more.
I think white males have had plenty of opportunity, had ample opportunities to have lead roles in movies and TV shows. I think speaking for male white people, I think we've had enough.
I think privileged white males need to shut the f- up, sit down, and let somebody else drive the bus.
Brad,
I forgot one thing on your sentence there. Hashtag Oscar's so white.
Fair enough.
Another example for me that's a little related is Dark Tower. So Roland was cast as Idris Elba,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm really excited about, but all the Dark Tower fan clubs are throwing a fit, which is really disheartening to see.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I can sum up a lot of these things in a very simple way, and I think Corey, my co-host on Elsner's, has said this before. I think that's like the 10th Elsner's name drop I've done.
It's okay.
But, and it's very simple. Do you only, like, people will complain. That's part just done. But the things that you can viably complain about are the reasons why I still have not seen Batman vs. Superman. Because of the writing, because of actual technical things about the movie, then, or TV show, or whatever the product is, then, oh my God, they changed something. Because you yourself as a person changes. Whether it might not be your personality or whatever, because you're just so hard line written to be, you know, you whoever, whatever you are, either a sports fan or a nerd or whatever. But on a physiological level, I think they said every 7 years, if you take a person who is born and then 7 years later, there's no atom that is the exact same.
All your cells change. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sort of deal. So you could think about this, and I'm close to, I think, my, what, fourth level there?
Your fourth incarnation, yes. Of Gregor.
Wait, I need to start.
Played by Matt Smith.
But so I think all these people are, and I think all these people are just complaining to complain. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not really a, oh, I really think this is like the Dark Tower thing with Idris Elba. You know, it's the same thing that people said with him being James Bond. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. James Bond's an old white man, but why have you had young people playing him?
Mm-hmm. And why does he have to be an old white man?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, how detrimental to the story is that? Like,
No.
It changes nothing.
Yeah.
I could see, now, with sticking with the James Bond thing, I could see, you know, where they say, oh, Idris Elba might be a little too street. I'm using air quotes there. Because he can play that way, but he also can play not that way.
He's a phenomenal actor. He can do almost anything.
Yeah. He's amazing.
And so, I mean, for people to complain, you know, oh my gosh, they're just clearly skipping over the fact that these are great actresses. Daisy Ridley in her breakout role, like she was only in like small things before this, and then to... Same thing with John Boyega. Like, the only thing he was in before, really, was Attack the Block. And that was, I consider that his Star Wars audition.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was awesome in Attack the Block, and then you come here, and, yes, Brad.
Speaking of auditions, they released Daisy Ridley's audition video. It's on the Blu-ray as well, but they released a portion of that audition and some of J.J. Abrams' commentary. And to watch her do this and J.J. Abrams saying she hit it and she like cried on command. She was this wonderful actress kind of from out of nowhere that just nailed everything about this character. And why wouldn't you have... It blows my mind that people are so up in arms about having a female lead for anything.
Well,
that it's ridiculous.
Lest we forget, it's the internet, and people on the internet complain about everything.
To answer the big question of when do I think this will stop bothering some people, I think, honestly, it's this next generation. It's mm-hmm. these kids It's the kids now who are learning from hopefully the more responsible, you know, like the to rip off the Stephen Colbert character from the Colbert Report, where they don't see race, third deal, where it'll be those people that where this will change. It will be, you know, I jokingly said the whole hashtag Oscar so white, but that's when it's going to change, is once the majority of the people who are the people who vote in the Oscars, which are a bunch of old white men, all die off. And then the people who vote in the Academy and all this stuff, it's a more diverse thing. Then you're going to get truly get more diverse nominations. Same thing with casting and filming and all this stuff. This is where I wish it could happen right now. This is where people look at the role and go, okay, did this actress do it good? Do we think Felicity Jones is going to be, who is the lead actress here, is going to do great or good in this role? If not, and once we see it, if not, okay, fine, you could critique it then. But to have judgments by only seeing a trailer or only seeing a still image is idiotic.
That's the same thing.
Batman v Superman.
Yeah, I was going to say, the same logic, people that judge a movie before they see it, they think it's crap because it's directed by a certain person or written by a certain person, and they go, no, it's terrible already. I haven't seen it yet, but I know it's terrible.
Did you just call me one of them people?
No. Totally no. Because
I've said that. I've said that, but it was before. It was after the reviews.
Yeah. No. No. I'm not calling you one of those people. Those people that I'm talking about are a lot worse. A lot worse.
Those people don't obey the philosophy that I do of don't be a dick.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's move on from the big question. And really quickly remind everybody that they can find out more about this podcast at gncasts.com/geeks. That's gncasts/geeks. Or you can find out about the other podcasts on the Galactic Netcast Network by going to the main site, gncasts.com. And if you guys want to pipe in on this big question too, you can leave us feedback by calling our voicemail number, which is 805-328-3966. That's 805-328-3966. Or email geeks@gncasts.com. That's geeks@gncasts.com. Or leave a comment on the YouTube video that we're recording this podcast on. That would be awesome as well. We have a lot of subscribers on our YouTube channel, and that would be great if you would leave us a little comment on that as well. Let's, I think it's time for Ing's.
Watching, reading, playing, listening,
making.
I.
Watching, reading, playing, listening,
making.
N.
Watching, reading, playing, listening,
making.
G.
It's time for Ing's. Watching, reading, listening, playing, etc. Anything sci-fi related that we have taken into our senses as entertainment over the last week or so. And it looks like Brad is first up on the lineup.
What? Oh, I am. Mm-hmm. Hey.
It's Fallout 4.
I should read. Yeah, it is Fallout 4. No, it is not. It is actually Batwoman I've been reading. This is the run by J.H. Williams III and W. Hayden Blackman. It's some of the new 52, which...
But you do that, though, and sorry to chime in, but Batwoman was one of the better books.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I'm... You know, the majority of the new 52 is just shite. But this is actually very enjoyable, and it's really sad to know that the DC editors just, like, pooped all over it after this run, essentially. What is this? This is the third volume of the Batwoman Chronicles, essentially. It's really a wonderful departure of a kind of a Bat family book, as it were. She has the name, but she doesn't really work with Batman. She does her own thing and works for another government agency. I really don't want to give anything away. But the cool thing about this one, and I've just started reading this one, this is volume 3. I've read the first two, and this is where Batwoman gets to team up with Wonder Woman.
Oh, cool.
Towards the end of this. So it's a great way for you to get introduced, if you haven't already, to the new 52 Wonder Woman, and find out more about this particular character. And this Batwoman is fantastic. She has so many wonderful character flaws that I think all heroes really need. Some kind of tortured past. And it's not that, you know, her, it's not like Batman's where her parents were killed in front of her. She does have another another issue that sort of drives her a little bit, but that's not all of who she is. And the entire structure of her super identity, her secret identity, sorry, it's really interesting. And I can't recommend this enough, because the writing on this and the artwork on this are very beautiful. And like I said, unfortunately, the editorial kind of put the kibosh on this at the end of this book. Something happens, and DC said that was a bridge too far, and it's ridiculous. Batwoman proposes to her girlfriend, and
God,
DC editorial really? Went, nope, you're Jeez. Out.
Wow.
And,
what century are we living in?
Right.
It was a sad choice that was made, very sad, and it is what it is. Enjoy the first three volumes of this, because it is wonderful storytelling, and again, I can't recommend this enough. I was fortunate enough to find this in a half-priced bookstore, so I managed to pick up all three books for $30, as opposed to, I think, each one, if you were to buy it off the shelf, is $22.99. So I got a good deal on it, and it's available in soft cover too for half the price as well. So Batwoman from the New 52, this is volume 3, World's Finest. Pick up Hydrology, which is the first volume. I can't remember the name of the second volume now. Please read this, because it's absolutely wonderful. Batwoman from the New 52.
Great costume. She's got an awesome costume. I like it a lot.
Yes, it is. It's absolutely wonderful. It almost reminds me of a little bit of Batman Beyond. I mean, if I were to describe this to somebody who's not watching us on YouTube, think of Terry McGinnis's costume. It is black with the red bat, and that is essentially what she has. She has a red cape, though, where Terry did not have a cape. And she's actually wearing a red wig. Her hair is not actually that long. Just a wonderful background, wonderful character, well written. I highly recommend it.
And also a quick note, volume 2 was called To Drown the World.
Yes, thank you.
All right, let's stay on the subject of comic books and in the DC universe. My ing is watching, and I watched JLA Adventures Trapped in Time on Netflix a couple days ago. And this reminded me of more of a Super Friends vibe type of animated movie for the DC characters. Especially the space scenes. Early on in the story, Lex Luthor is trying to, I forget exactly what he's doing. He's trying to destroy the Earth or destroy something on the, I forget. But there is
being a jerk.
Yeah, it's just being Lex. He's in space, and he's battling Justice League of America. I had a brain fart for a second. And they're all in like spaceships or spacesuits, and it's very much like 1970s, 1980s, like Super Friends, and I love that. I love that a lot. So basically the story is Lex Luthor is frozen during a battle with the Justice League. He thaws out in the 31st century, discovers Time Trapper, and prevents Superman's arrival to Earth as a baby. Future teen heroes Karate Kid and Dawnstar must stop him. And
Legion of Superheroes, woohoo!
Yeah, exactly. they're sitting around in the 31st century going, damn, I want to be part of the Legion of Superheroes. They're like junior members, kind of, and they want to be like full-fledged members, and Karate Kid wants to prove to them that they can actually be members of the Legion of Superheroes. And he does something to let Lex out of his block of ice, and that's where the story goes. And they go back in time, and things change, but then they change things back, and it's really good. It's not the best DC animated movie I've seen recently. There's been others that have been a lot better than this one, but it's still up there. And the one thing I did notice was the voices. They weren't the famous actors that you sometimes hear in DC animated movies.
No, this one has
Diedrich Bader
is doing Batman. I'm assuming Laura Bailey is doing the role of Wonder Woman, because I see Wonder Woman on the cover here with the link. And this is something that started happening now, where Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill, you know, and all these, you know, the quintessential voices of Batman, Joker, and all these other characters have stepped back, and they have newer, you know, characters actors who are doing the voices. Like Jason O'Mara is doing the new voice for Batman and does a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen stuff that he's done the voices for him, and he does a pretty good job. Yeah.
There's another one.
I didn't recognize any of the people though in the voice cast on this. Like, none of them were like famous actors that I've heard of. They all seem like just voice actors. So.
That's probably because some of them you're a little too old, because the one I'm recognizing is Jack DeCina, who did the voice of I can't think of his name, from Avatar: The Last Airbender, the boy that wasn't Aang but hung out with Aang, and his sister was the waterbender.
Sokka?
Yes.
So I can't remember how to pronounce his name now.
Yeah, him. And he was also on All That on Nickelodeon. And that's why I say you're too old, because you would have been, you know, 30 years old when this came out.
You know, what's funny though is I'm starting to discover some of these shows just because of the younger kids that I'm around now.
Yeah.
And I'm watching more Disney XD than I ever have in my life.
XD has Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah, no, it's a great channel.
Lab Rats.
Yeah, Hello. Lab Rats is also another good show. Or they have the one that's damn it! They always show it, the commercial for it. It's on before
Star versus the Forces of Evil.
No, I've seen the promo for that, but that's not the show I'm thinking of. It's a show that just wrapped up, and it's funny. There's time travel involved. There's alternate dimensions. There's they're out in the middle of nowhere. It's like
Rick and Morty.
No. I'll think of it eventually.
Definitely not a Disney XD show.
Anyways, that's my ing. So Gregor, you're up. Gravity Falls.
Okay, sorry. That was a good one.
Sorry, I had Tourette's there for a second.
No, that was
Gravity Falls.
That's how I start all my ings. I just have you scream a random show. But no, Gravity Falls was good.
Yes.
But that's not my ing. My ing, keeping with my tradition of inging a comic book. Although there are other ings that I thought of, and I'm like, no, too late. But this one is The Wicked and the Divine. This is written by Kieran Gillen, and the art is by Jamie McKelvey. They have three trades out right now. Volume one called, I should probably get this prepared. But the basic premise of this, before I tell you the volumes, is that every 90 years, the pantheon of the gods come back in the form of kids. Like they take over the bodies of teenagers. This all takes place in London, and so we start off. A quick little backstory with this. I got into this because of the writers, of the writer with Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey with his art, because when I really got into comic books, they were doing Young Avengers at Marvel. This is an Image comic book, by the way. And so I recognized their name, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to check this out. And I realized at first, I'm like, his art style, his characters look awfully similar. But then it's like, which you do realize, because, you know, same artist doing some one thing, you know, doing art, you will recognize that the characters start to look alike. Also the reason why I boycott, or why I try not to read anything that Greg Land draws, but that's a separate aside. The Wicked and Divine, you start off with the gods, like Loki is, or not Loki, Lucifer, who is like Loki in the Marvel Comics universe. You're following her around, and they all have these big cult followings, sort of deal. Like, everyone just goes to see them. They perform in concerts and all this stuff, because it's, I think, 2012 when this comes out. And also Kieran Gillen, the way he writes is he will listen to music. So he'll be playing music, and he will talk about the music that he's playing as he's writing these scripts for the stories. But you're following this girl who's going around basically trying to uncover and get close to these gods. And she gets in, she meets Loki and is hanging out with Loki. And then all of a sudden Lucifer, sorry. For now, and if I say Loki, I mean Lucifer, where she goes like this, click, pointing at someone trying to, like, you know, like fake shoot them, even though she has the power, and their head blows up. And so she gets accused of murder and all this stuff. And then the chit just hits the fan, sort of deal. But it is such a great book. Like I said, there are three volumes out. The first volume is called The Faust Act. The second volume is called Fandemonium. And then the third volume is called Commercial Suicide, which actually is something that's really cool, in that the six issues that were in there, this was also when Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey were doing the latest volume of Phonogram, which is another great series. Check that out. So they had guest artists coming on. And so you saw different art styles for these characters, and it was brilliant. And also, if this is a reason to subscribe to the Patreon, because I may or may not be talking about that in a Patreon exclusive episode.
No, you don't say. You don't say, Gregor.
Yeah. So there, another reason why you should also watch or subscribe to our Patreon.
Sounds really good. I've just put it in my cart.
There is a like a giant hardcover thing, but I think it's only the first two volumes. I don't think it's this last volume. But yeah, it's, I wish I was better at describing things, because it's really, really good. Mm. It's all I could say.
You know, Gregor, sometimes that's all you need, is it's really, really good. And
yeah. I mean, if you liked Young Avengers over at Marvel, if you liked Kieran's run on Angela, you will like this. On Angela, as Guardian's Assassin is the one he worked on, then you will like this.
All right. Thank you. All right.
So I guess I'm up?
Yeah, AC, what's your ing?
So, staying on the Image Comics train, I have selected Bitch Planet, which is really interesting me right now. So I've only finished volume one, but I am currently reading this, so I figured I'd go with that. So I'm sort of a casual comic reader. I don't have a long history with Marvel or DC, but I find a lot of Image comics are very interesting. And I discovered this because I follow Kelly Sue DeConnick, and she is the writer of Bitch Planet. And so she was the writer. The artist is Valentin DeLandro. And this is definitely a comic for adults. The best way I can describe it is a dystopian Orange is the New Black in space.
Ah.
Yes.
Great description.
Wow, that nails it. Oh my God.
So to introduce you to the concept, it's about a women's prison in space. So women who are non-compliant, as they call it, which can be anything from the way they look to the way they behave. Actually, there's a blurb on the back. Are you too fat, too thin, too loud, too shy, too religious, too secular, too prudish, too sexual, too queer, too black, too brown, too whatever it is they'll judge you for today? You may belong on Bitch Planet.
Now, that's based on a 1970s movie, isn't it, or something? Or something from the 1970s or 1960s.
Kelly Sue, she might have taken it from, done some of the things, with her research in doing this, but I don't know necessarily that she did, that it's, solely based on...
Yeah, I was reading some things she had said about it. She was saying that... it is mostly original, though she likes looking at old stuff to get influence.
Okay.
But she was saying actually that she's refused to watch Orange is the New Black because she didn't know it was so similar and doesn't want to be influenced by anything contemporary, at least.
Sorry to step on your toes here, but because I am reading this, because you're reading the trade paperback on this, is there anything extra? Do they include any of the letters pages in there?
Yeah, I'm not sure about letters.
Well,
they
essays and stuff.
I haven't seen essays, but they have these neat little flyers that are the "Hey Kids Patriarchy."
Oh yeah. Those are cool. Those were the back cover for the issue, for the single issues.
Okay.
But so this adds to your ing, and this is basically go to your comic book store and pick up the issue singularly. Because in the back for their letter pages, this is also, side note here, this is also why I like Matt Fraction's book, Sex Criminals, because it's the same thing, but they have essays from women about really interesting things, and they always tie in to the story that was just in that issue.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's where, unless... Kelly Sue is planning on doing something like Matt Fraction did with releasing a book called Just the Tips, where it's all with tied to sex criminals, another recommendation for a later time, where she releases all the essays that they've done with this, and they're all exclusive to the comic book. These are all people that she's fans of or want to do it because they're fans of the book, writing these essays about whatever issue. But mainly being, something about women empowerment, feminism, all these things here that is just really cool to see.
Yeah, now I feel like I'm missing out on that part.
Yeah, a little bit. I hate to tell you that. But just go to your local comic book store. I'm pretty sure you can get all six issues, actually probably all, not eight or nine issues that they have now, and go through that.
Yeah, for sure. Just to finish summarizing a little bit, so basically when these women are considered non-compliant, for whatever reason, they're booted from Earth and sent to live in this prison colony on this separate planet where they're detained and sometimes blamed for crimes they didn't even commit. And it's generally accepted that no one is coming out of this alive. The system is run by these fathers, which might be a semi-Catholic reference. I haven't gotten that far yet, but if it is, it's definitely religion as a front for this corporate entity. They're controlling extremely personal aspects of the women's lives, and if the women step out of line, they're taken to this facility that the corporation calls Auxiliary Compliance Outpost, but everyone else just uses the term Bitch Planet, and that's stuck. So it's like patriarchy dystopia.
What a generic sanitary name. what was that again?
Auxiliary Compliance Outpost.
Oh my God. That's funny. And scary to think about.
Yeah, well, I think it is sort of a projection of that flavor of dystopia. This is what will happen if we don't have feminism or if we... keep screwing this up.
What
goes in line with the big question, I guess.
What's the art look like for this?
Show the art. Show the art.
I'll see if I can find something that's not R-rated.
Yeah, that's the one problem is the art goes really, but the cool part is, one of the cool parts is the covers, which I think you still get to see because they're like a oh, I cannot think of what the term would be, but they're like the old, like, grindhouse movie, style posters.
Yeah, that's what I was guessing what it was going to be like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can kind of see there.
Yeah, okay. That's one of the covers right there.
That's another kind of insert one.
Okay.
But no, it's really good. I'm liking the art a lot. It suits the story really well. And they do play with different flavors of art depending on, like, the subject, because it kind of has that sort of, I don't know, like a battle royale feel of, like, super inappropriately happy stuff going on with super dark stuff. It's kind of hard to see on the camera, I guess, but.
Okay.
Well, and there's something also that they're doing that's pretty cool with the story, in that you will have, I believe they'll do, they do them in groups of three. So two issues will be about the current story, and then the third issue will be about one of the characters. This is where I sort of spoiled you on something, and I apologize. But you will either love it or hate it when you get to there. And it explains these people in a really great way. Actually, that issue that I was talking about, I love, because it is so artfully done. It's, in my opinion, on par with Gerard Way with his book Umbrella Academy. There's another recommendation right there. I could throw out recommendations all day.
Yeah.
But with just that, like how his character designs are in there. But yeah, this is a great book. Image has a lot of great books, to be honest. That's my recommendation, is anything from Image Comics.
Is Walking Dead Image?
Yes.
Okay, Walking that's what Dead's I thought. Image, yeah.
The other Robert Cookman.
Robert Cookman. You know him. He does stuff.
That's his chef alter ego. The other Robert Kirkman book that's becoming a TV show, Outcast, is going to be on Cinemax, is also from Image Comics.
Okay.
I feel like Image is willing to take a lot of risks that maybe other distributors aren't.
Image, well, the difference being is that Image is all creator-owned. There's not...
Yeah.
Where they will use editors and stuff like that, it's not like Marvel or DC where, oh, you want Batwoman to get married? Well, no, sort of deal. It's, do you? You tell the story you want to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why a lot of people, Rick Remender, are leaving the big two in Marvel and DC and just doing creator-owned stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Image became like the new Kitchen Sink Press, which Kitchen Sink, originally they did that. It was, you know, creator-owned stuff. But I think Jim Valentino, who created Shadowhawk, is kind of running the whole, like, recruiting independents to join Image and tell their stories through the Image stable, through their line. So,
all right, great ings, guys, and we'll have the links in the show notes, and everybody can take a look at them and download them, read them, whatever. Subscribe to this podcast via iTunes if you like what you hear. Please give us 5 stars. And write a short review. 1 or 2 sentences is fine. We're also on Stitcher and Stitcher Smart Radio. You can leave a comment on an episode-by-episode basis there as well. All these subscription options and links can be found under the Subscribe tab at gncasts.com. AC Baldwin, thank you again for being our guest this week on the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Where can people, again, find your book? And just give a brief pitch on why people should get your book and where people can find it, that kind of thing.
So people should get the book if they like sci-fi and fantasy and mushing them together and breaking lots of rules. And they can get it on Inkshares, which I believe you will have the link. But just search Inkshares Traveler's Cup and it should be up there, probably at the top.
What's that?
bit.ly/Traveler's Cup.
What's that bit.ly link again?
bit.ly/Traveler's Cup, all lowercase.
All right. Cool. Well,
AC, feel free to use it, by the way.
You've been listening to a production of Galactic Netcasts. I'm Dave Nelson. on behalf of Brad, Gregor, Corey, Matt,
bye, Dad.
Anessa, JF, and AC, we will talk to you guys all next time.
Yay, woohoo!
Yay!
You have been listening to a production of Galactic Netcasts. For more about this show and others, go to gncasts.com. That's GNCASTS.com.